in a recent op-ed piece in the Lansing State Journal, our next guest sounded an alarm over federal cuts to workforce training. As CEO of Capital Area Michigan Works, Doug Stites wrote of a 20% funding cut this year to his agency and of $1 billion in total cuts nationally to such efforts. Stites maintains the cuts come at a time when efforts to retrain Michigan workers for in-demand jobs are critically important. At the same time, some number of taxpayers appear skeptical of the publicly funded agency's work. Here to talk about all of that, Capital Area Michigan Works CEO Doug Stites. Welcome to Current State, Doug.
Thanks.
I think people associate Michigan Works with the state because of the name of the agency, Michigan Works, but most of your funding is from the U.S. government?
Virtually 100%.
What is your total budget, and how much from the feds? How much is that?
Our total budget this year is about $12-13 million. At its high point, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we were at about $25 million.
So just about in half from half of your budget has been cut.
Right.
And that is a half a dozen years old.
Right.
What's been the impact of that? How have you adjusted to that?
Well, we've cut staff. We're going through a process tomorrow where we're going to streamline and reduce overhead by eliminating contractors and go to a single contractor system. I won't go into much detail, but we're trying to flatten out to get more of the money we've got into services and less into overhead. So, but the fact is, we still get about the same number of people coming in our door every day, and the people that are still left over from the recession who don't have the skills to compete in today's economy, because we are generating some number of jobs in the Lansing region. We're not where we'd like to be, but we are making progress. The employers who have openings, those jobs require skills, and the people that are left don't have the skills for those openings. So it's a matter of retraining those people, and we don't have the resources to retrain as many people as we'd like to.
That's the heart of your mission, is retraining.
Yes.
Reskills. We've been hearing about the skills mismatch issue here in Michigan for a few years now. Can you give us a common mismatch scenario? Somebody comes to your agency looking for work, and they simply don't have the other way of phrasing that is, what are the in-demand jobs right now in this area?
Well, the in-demand jobs, we'll talk about sectors rather than jobs, but they're in information technology, healthcare, and advanced manufacturing. Those
sure.
would be three sectors. Another one you could add in is business and business services, insurance, and finance. The people that are coming to us were dislocated during the recession, primarily in manufacturing. So the state in total lost about 500,000 jobs in manufacturing, and we have not recovered those jobs. So those people, many of them don't have the skill sets to compete for the jobs that we are now creating. And it's unlikely, though we've had a small resurgence in manufacturing since the auto sector started adding some back in. Our area and our region, we're up to about 18,000 jobs in manufacturing. Very unlikely we'll build back up to what we had pre-recession or even in the years even well before the recession. So it's been good for the jobs we've got back manufacturing, welcome them, but we'll never add back to the multitude we had before. The jobs we're adding in, as you know, headlines recently, Jackson National Life's going to add 1,000 jobs in. The
exactly.
people that are going to get those are very unlikely to be the people that were dislocated during the recession. They don't have the right skills to compete for that kind of employment.
We're still making this transition from a manufacturing environment that really just essentially required a high school education. We're still fighting that battle.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Well, a bit, but even I want to be careful. Manufacturing's transforming itself where they want people with more education than a high school itself. So
gotcha.
I want to be careful as we characterize manufacturing. They want people with post-high school training and advanced skills. But the rest of the economy is asking for people with much more skills, and so you refer to it as the knowledge economy.
Sure.
And our region even struggles there. We're below the national average for people with advanced degrees in our region. Our state's well below the national average. We're only at 25%. So we're not a well-educated state, and our region's not well-educated. So, you know, we write frequently about the Keep Learning, an initiative we've done with the local educators and the media to talk about the fact, ultimately, if we're going to compete for high-wage jobs based on the knowledge economy, we're going to have to raise our profile, which is a larger issue than just reskilling current workers.
It's about
if we want to look like Madison, Wisconsin, which is approaching 40% of the workforce with a four-year degree, and we're at 27%, we're going to have to, over the long haul, truly understand to compete for the kind of jobs that are in a knowledge economy. We're going to have to work on that for a long period of time, and we're well positioned. We do have the institutions to do it. It's a question of, do we have the will?
Well, here in the capital area, we fare better than the state as a whole, too, on four-year degrees. Do we not?
Just barely. Just 2 percentage points, but we're below the national average for four-year degrees.
Okay.
So Michigan's well below it. Lansing is below it. Ann Arbor is well ahead of it. So we would like to look more like Ann Arbor than we do currently. And as again, it's not a lack of having the institutions to do it, which is one of our great assets. It's not, if we could just build a four-year institution, if we could just build a community college, which a lot of areas of the state, that's their problem, is they'd like to look like us in terms of capacity and infrastructure. We have the infrastructure to do it. So it's not a matter of, if we just had the institutions to raise our profile of education. We're blessed with that in this region.
So the institutions need to be graduating more people.
Well, they graduate them. We've got to learn how to figure out how to keep them.
Okay.
It's not a matter of graduating them. We do. The answer is, how do we keep them and how do we grow companies at the same time?
Last fall, I reported on the ePathways training program involving LCC and Capital Area Michigan Works. This is an effort to fill sometimes, from what I reported, hundreds of available IT positions here in the area. How is ePathways doing?
We're going to enroll about 200 people in total in associate's degrees, 100 new ones this fall at LCC.
Sounds like it's doing great.
Well, we've got to get them through and get them graduated in the workplace, so we're not at that point, but we're at the front end of getting them into school. And then, of course, we'd like to see a lot of them, once they complete their associate degrees, get into companies, keep on going, and turn those associate degrees eventually into baccalaureate degrees at places like Michigan State.
Sounds like the ePathways program is really the sweet spot, because IT openings were, I think, the first thing you mentioned in terms of in-demand occupations.
Right. Well, IT is ubiquitous. It's almost in every place we go: healthcare, information technology, manufacturing. Everybody relies on IT now. So it's in the backroom operation of almost every endeavor we have in the Lansing region. Summit's a standalone, places like Liquid Web. Almost 400 jobs, purely IT, but it's also in healthcare, electronic medical records. It's one of the fastest growing occupations in places like Sparrow and McLaren. IT is everywhere now, and the more IT workers we have in this region, the better all the companies do, and they're all looking for IT workers.
Are the most recent cuts you're facing a result of the federal sequestration?
That's a compound effect, but we were cut the year before 20%. So one good thing that's happened is the Senate last week, for the first time in 10 years, has passed out of a subcommittee the reauthorization of our program. The House has passed it. Now the Senate's passed it. We have to get it to the Senate floor, which would maybe reauthorize WEA, which is an old law. It's back in the 1990s, and if we could get it reauthorized, maybe that would spur Congress and the administration to say, well, let's refurbish this law, which is antiquated. And if it was refurbished, perhaps then they would reauthorize new funding for a new law that would really bring us up to date in this century, because this law is from the last century, and maybe that would give us new funding.
Go a little deeper with us. How is it antiquated?
Well, it was passed in 1998. You can imagine the times in the workforce were far different in 1998. Mm-hmm. We've gone through a multitude of changes, and the restrictions in what we can do in terms of helping workers and companies, in terms of training workers. This was designed in 1995, passed in 1998. It really doesn't look like what the workforce and the economy look like in 2013. So a new law with new changes, new flexibility to deal with the labor force and demands would really be helpful. And if that's passed, perhaps that would spur Congress to authorize new funding.
Okay, additional funding.
Even if they just would restore some of the funding.
Oh, okay.
The restoration of funding would be important.
Do you notice an improvement in keeping college graduates in the Lansing area? Is that ticking up even modestly?
You can just bear in the tenths of percents, just very, very slow. If it was a thermometer out there and we were watching it, you'd have to get very close to see it moving.
What's the missing piece there?
Well, it's young adults, which is the key group for moving that percentage. It's a combination of place, not just employment, it's place, and they're looking for urban core centers. So it's revitalizing our urban core center. They don't want to live where I live. As you know, I'm an old graybeard. So exactly what I want, they don't want. They want a vibrant downtown. They want dense living. They want walkable communities. Many of them don't even want to own a car. So that's heresy to those of us that grew up in the 60s.
Right.
And so the very things we've got to ask, what do they want? Where do they want to live? If we're going to attract young talent to our region, which is and keep them. So when you spoke earlier about graduates, those young graduates are frequently flocking to urban core centers. The urban core centers, though, that have a major research university of the size of Lansing, have an ability to be major players in the new economy. If you don't have this university, you really can't play if you're a city and region of 500,000 like us. But with this university, places the size of Madison and Lansing can become major economies because you do have that university.
Federal money is being cut, but 2 years ago, in a state auditor general report, the agency was taken to task for a membership at the Country Club of Lansing and for, I believe it was an $18,000 weekend retreat. Are you confident in your current spending priorities at Capital Area Michigan Works?
Well, that wasn't our retreat. That was a different Michigan Works agency, so I won't,
okay.
I won't speak to that. But okay. we had a membership where we just used the Lansing Country Club for our meetings, so it wasn't social. It wasn't anything. I'd never been there. I don't golf. I'm not a golfer. But the agency just used the Lansing Country Club as a place to hold board meetings and large gatherings. And we agreed with the state just to forego it. It was a legal expense. It had been looked at and audited many times. So we disagree with the auditor entirely. It's totally legitimate. Had been there for 25, 28 years. But just to avoid any further discussion about it, we just dropped it. It was a legal expense. There was not, the auditor was wrong. But we just foregone it. The other expenses that were listed in there were not ours.
Okay.
In the audit report, because that was all Michigan Works agencies around the state. It was not Capital Area.
But you're confident in your current spending priorities at the agency?
Well, we've cut out 21% of our administrative costs this year coming up, trying to push more money to the front end. So I don't think we're ever comfortable that we're doing enough. We always have to get leaner. And as I said, tomorrow we're going to get even leaner yet by trying to eliminate layers of administration at our contractor level. But at some point, you still don't have enough money to serve all the people that come in. And so at the end of the day, I don't think anything we're going to do is going to be able to allow us to serve all the customers for the needs that they come in. So I'm still concerned that with a 20% cut this year, 20% cut last year, we still have about 1,000 people walk through the door every day.
Mm.
And at some point, you don't give them the services they need to attach themselves. My goal is to turn them into taxpayers, and so they become citizens that are paying taxes. That's what they'd like to do, and that's what I'd like to help them become.
Okay.
And that's the thing we're not doing for enough of them right now.
Okay. Doug Stites is CEO of Capital Area Michigan Works. Thanks, Doug.
You bet.
Good luck.